Welcome! There's your official welcome. We are starting over. This is our final coffee talk of the summer, our Monday night coffee talk. We have tomorrow morning, also a Tuesday. Can't get enough of this nonsense. You can come back tomorrow morning for more. Woohoo! There we go. No extra charge. All right. We have a great, special, very special event tonight. We've never done a format like this before, so you were all my guinea pigs. We'll see. And if you liked it, tell all of your friends. If you don't care for it, you just say you went and visited the Mormon church. So.
What?
You'll find out why she's so offended in just a minute. All right. Well, we do have a special evening planned. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get this night started. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have before us to come together as sisters in Christ, women who love you and want to love one another and ourselves better. We thank you for the story that you have written into our hearts, that you've wove through our lives, and that you're helping us to create to glorify you. And we would ask, Father, tonight that you would be glorified, that our conversation would be edifying to one another and a blessing to you as well. Go before us now in this evening, and may your hand of blessing be on those who share and on all of us tonight as we prepare to share our stories as well. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
Good job. All right. You will need this packet. If you missed it out of the basket on the front sign-in table, grab that. And then also, if you don't have a pen or anything to write with, you'll need that. So go ahead and get a pen out and get ready for that as well. Tonight's get-together will be a little bit different than what we've done before. And so we will not be breaking out into a separate room. That's why I closed off this room. And there's no reason for us to go down the hall because we're all just going to stay here together at our small groups at the tables that the Lord has apparently ordained for you to be at tonight. So you are going to be there. So what tonight will be is a little bit of my sharing about your story and our story and how God speaks to us in that, as well as hearing from a panel of the gals who spoke this summer. And if you were here at every single coffee talk, then you get to get a special review of some of the things the ladies shared this summer. And if you weren't able to come, then you will be blessed again also by what we'll be hearing tonight from our panelists from past this summer. So our theme tonight is our story, His Glory. And if you, again, have heard people share their story before, like we have during this summer, then maybe you're like me when someone gets up and shares and you wonder what they have to dish about, what's happened in their life, what life of crime did they lead before they came to the Lord, right? And you're waiting to hear their story. And as their story unfolds, you realize, wow, me too. I've done that. I've been there. And, or, wow, my friend went through this. Now I feel like I'll be better equipped to talk to her and share in her story. Or, oh, I'm so glad I came. I was so tired from work and I didn't want to come, but I made myself go anyway. Anyone ever feel like that one? And you get here and you're finally, okay, I'm really glad I'm here. This is a good place to be. And all of the above, right? All right. So throughout the summer, we've heard that, and maybe also throughout the summer, you've thought, as you've heard someone else share, huh, God's been doing something in my heart. I wonder if somebody, I could share my story. I wonder if what I've been through could benefit someone else. Could I do it? How would I do it? What would I say? Should I? You know, and questioning yourself and all of that. Maybe as you've listened to somebody else's story, it's deepened your ability to be compassionate to other people and to realize, wow, we're all walking in the door with who knows what in our purse besides lipstick and credit cards, right? We have a lot of cares, a lot of anxieties, a lot of secrets, a lot of burdens. And if I were sitting out in this group of lovely women before 2013, those of you who know my story and the importance of that year, if I were you sitting in this room right here, hearing a speaker say what I'm saying right now, I would be the woman in the room thinking, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to share my story. I don't know if anyone will ever be able to talk to me and I'll ever be able to be really real with anyone because my story was so tightly woven with the dysfunction and the abuse and what my husband was going through. And so, as you know, my story ended with Christ obviously healing and restoring. My husband's completely restored now. But maybe you're sitting here wondering, when is my season of waiting for the time for me to be able to share my story? When is that? Or maybe you're like me when I was brand new baby Christian. I should say brand new baby teacher, not Christian. A brand new teacher. I was the youngest on the staff. I was 21 at the time, and everybody on staff was 35 or older, which meant they were like 93 for all I knew, right? And I remember at staff meetings, I went to a Christian school, taught at a Christian school, and at staff meetings, prayer time before the day would begin, we'd get together and pray and all that, and some other women would share their prayer requests, and I would just sit there going, these ladies have really complicated lives, you know, 21. I just barely got married. And I thought, you know, I'm glad everything's going great for me, and, you know, obviously, little did I know what was ahead of me in my story. And so maybe you're sitting there as well, like, wow, I listened to all these stories, and my story feels pretty vanilla, let's say, right? I don't even have chocolate chips, right, inside my vanilla. Like, there is nothing compared to what some of these women have gone through. So how could God use me? How could God use my story? So my goal tonight is that you would see your story in three ways, that you would see you and your story as valuable, as evolving, and as beneficial. And so if you want to grab your pens, and if you're a note taker and like to jot things down, I've made a little outline for you so you can write some things down as we go through to help anchor your thoughts in some notes here for you. And so on the next page over, it'll say our story, his glory, and a link to the podcast where I'll be posting this later. And again, my goal is that women would see their story in three ways. First of all, as valuable. Next, as evolving, and third, as beneficial. My goal tonight is that you would see that you are valuable because you are valued. You are valued. It's not because of anything intrinsic in what you've done. It is because of who created you, who knows you, who wants you, and that's God. In Matthew 10:30, Jesus says, "But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than even a sparrow." Right? So we are valued because of whose we are. Next, evolving. You are more than who you were. You're more than that. And sometimes we define our now by our back then. We think about who we are right now. You're evolving. Yeah? Did you have a question?
The evolving is in 1 Corinthians 5:17.
I haven't read it yet.
There's no 5:17.
1 Corinthians 5. Okay, I'll get to that in just a minute then. So you are more than who you were. You are not who you were. You have those as your memories, but you're more than that. You're not a sum of your experiences. And I know that's popular sociological talk to say that you are, but that is not the sum total of who you are. It's an aspect of who you are right now. But you're not a sum total of your experiences. When we define ourselves by our past and our experiences, only the people who've had really lovely pasts get off pretty happy on that one. Those of us who have challenged pasts end up feeling awful. If you continue to define yourself by your past and who you are and who you have been, then who you are by who you have been, you'll have nothing but angst about that unless you've got this amazing, perfect story. Okay? So you are becoming. I thought it was 1 Corinthians 5:17, is it not? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Someone can fact check me on that scripture. Maybe I typed it.
5 only goes to 13 verses.
Okay. Is it 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians. There we go. Thank you. Always call the teacher out if she gets her scripture wrong, especially if I start quoting from Moroni or something like that.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you, Courtney.
What is it?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. The new has come. You are a new creation. That word actually means you're a new species. You're a new species. You don't belong to the same family anymore. You're not even a hybrid. You are completely new. The old has passed away. You have a memory attached to that. You might even have physical wounds from it. You might have psychological issues because of it. But the old has passed away for those who are in Christ. You are a new creation, and you are evolving in that sense. And then you are beneficial, and your story is as well. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. What you have is beneficial. What you have. Psalm 107:1-2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. You are woven into God's story. Wherever you are in your journey, wherever your story is, you are where you are right now. Now, I know that's a little existential sounding, but you are just who you are right now. That's all. Okay? And so you can't predict failure for yourself based on who you are right now. All you can be is who you are because you have the skills that you have right now. What experiences you have, what level of maturity you've achieved emotionally, physically, spiritually, is who you are right now. Okay? But you have a story that's beneficial. If you are redeemed, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. If you are redeemed, if God has redeemed you, then you have something that you can tell what he has done for your soul. And I'll tell you right now, you have an enemy who does not want you to share your story, and he'll use whatever lie he needs to tell you. You're not worth it. It's too ugly. They'll mock you. They'll be ashamed of you. They'll be surprised. Or, ready? It's too boring. You're too good. It's too sweet. It's too simple. It's not enough. No one will listen. Why? Any of those things that keep you from telling your story is against God's word. You have a story. What you have to say is something that needs to be shared and can be shared, right? So, what does God say about our story? Take a look at Luke if you want to. I've put a lot of scriptures here for you. You're welcome to just bop around if you've got a fast phone and can do that. But in Luke 8:39, let's see what God says about our story. When he healed the demoniac, he says to him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming to the whole city how much Jesus had done to him. That healed demoniac, by the way, if you remember the story, wanted to come with Jesus, get back on that boat and travel back with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, you go to your people in this city and you proclaim your story and declare how much God has done for you. In 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Don't be ashamed of anything, whether it's a bad past or a lily white past. You have a story. Be ready to share and be willing. In Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. There's power in your testimony when your testimony is powered by God. Matthew 10:32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. How can you deny that one? Be willing to let your story be an opportunity to acknowledge before men the truth of who God is. Don't let Satan silence you. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Be ready, be willing, and make sure you're living a life that exemplifies the hope that you actually do have, so that people are compelled to ask, what is up? You're really different. Something in the way you live, in the way you speak, in the way you respond, is the thing that will make someone look at you and go, wow, if that happened to me, I'd be more like this. But I see you, and you're responding with hope. And that will compel them to ask that question. And I would submit to you, if you're not getting people asking you a question, you might be doing it wrong. Like, people should be asking, what is up? Something's different. And go back to 1 Peter 3 and maybe align that up so you can see what that difference should look like. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. This is a long passage. Bear with me as I read it out loud. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen from our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Listen, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Do you see the connection with knowing the truth of God and the power of proclaiming it? So that you too may have fellowship with us, he writes in 1 John. And in Romans 10:14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So you may not feel like you're a preacher, but you are called to share the gospel. And how can someone hear if you don't share? Right? So you are that way that someone will hear the gospel, whether it is from a microphone in a public setting or if it's just casually with people in your life that God brings along. Why not be prepared to share your story? Okay? So why don't we share? Before we go into what I've written here, I want you to take a minute at your groups. Just turn with to each other and just write out what some of your thoughts together at your table of what you think would be the natural things to say. Why don't we share our stories? Go ahead and take a minute in your groups. You have a table leader at each group who can help facilitate the discussion as well. Okay, so you've had some time to chat with your groups here. Would anybody from your group like to share something that came up in your talk of why don't you share? What are some things that you came up with? Just go ahead and shout it out from your group. Fear of shame and judgment. Okay, hold on. I don't have a working mic, so all I have is my voice. If you hear my voice, go ahead and stop your voices so that way we can hear one another as well. So once again, I have no way to like ding, 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 get everyone to stop talking. If what in your group did you come up with that was something that you would share? So go ahead and say that again.
Fear of shame and judgment.
Shame and judgment. What else?
Rejection.
Criticized.
Embarrassment.
Same thing. Embarrassment.
Talked about.
You came up with like fear or something you might think is irrelevant.
Oh, irrelevant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. True. Good. Okay. So why don't we share? I wrote for years, similar to what you wrote down also, but for inner voices of criticism and shame. You're not wanted. You're afraid you'll hear. You should be further along by now, somebody might think or say about me. People aren't going to relate to what I have to say. My story is boring, someone might think. I'm not as clever or educated or articulate or funny or outgoing or poised or fill in the blank as so-and-so, right? So shame of our own story. We've done something or something's been done to us that's so awful. Surely people will reject me when they find out. It feels like somehow some sins are cool to share eventually and others are never, ever, ever going to be acceptable to share. Ever. No one ever is going to want to hear that. And you define whatever it is, your sin, right? Or what happened to you, right? Never going to be acceptable to share, all right? So not feeling ready also, not feeling ready. You ever feel like that? I'm not going to be ready. I'll never be ready. Well, I'm just going to say right now, you're here today. The time is now. I believe that God has specifically set aside this day for you people in this moment and this time that you are here to hear this message for a reason. And today is the day that something's going to move in your heart and you're going to say, okay, moving forward. So whenever the opportunity was presented in God's word, it was always now. Always now. Right? I want you to name a Bible character. I challenge you. Name a Bible character that God says, in a little while, I'm going to have you act upon. In a little while later, I'm going to have you obey me. But no. Abraham gets called, boom, up and out you go. Right? Gideon meets him, that little knucklehead guy in threshing all that. Wheat in the wine press, and God's like, now, let's go. And even though he went at it with the whole fleecing thing, right? Still, God was like, nope, this is a now. What does it say in God's word? Someday is the day of salvation. Today. When is it? Today is the day of salvation.
Peter and John and all the disciples.
All of the disciples, take up your cross, follow me when you get around to it, when you feel comfortable, when your story is dealt with, right? Every single encounter that people have with Christ. Christ is all over it when they're saying, I got to go bury my dead. He said, like, what? Your dead? Bury the dead. He said, let's go. I got places, right? We need to have that sense of urgency, ladies. The clock is ticking, not just on your uterus, but on... The clock is ticking. It is time... And there is a whole host of reasons in your mind spinning around that you're like, oh, Lord, have mercy. If she makes me take a microphone tonight, I'm going to crawl under this table and claw things. Okay? I'm not. Don't worry. That is not part of our agenda tonight. But I want you to ask this question. I want you to ask this question. What part of my story could I share today? Now, again, back in 2013 on May 5th was when my husband sobered up. Even after that, I wasn't ready. But I only had what I had in that moment. What part of my story could I share? I'll just share what I can. I'll just share who I am right now. I'm not going to wait till it all gets nicely wrapped up with a bow and I can have the happily ever after. We're never going to share a story if we're waiting for that happily ever after. It's just not going to happen, right? So ask that question. Next, ask, what part of my story am I willing to pray about that I'd be willing to share? What part of my story? Okay? So here's why I say it in that way. If I were you sitting there, like I said, the pre-Cinco de Mayo, Jennifer Richmond, this was May 5th, 2013, my husband got sober, I would have been like, God, I can't share my story until you restore my marriage. Write that down. I can't share my story until you blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to pray like crazy that you will restore my marriage. I can't share my story until my husband is healed, right? Of all of his isms, alcoholism and all the other addictions, right? I can't share my story until. Write that down. Whatever your until is, write it down. I'm going to pray like crazy on that. Right now, the part of my story that's on my heart is my son, who's an awesome kid. We love him. We have a great relationship, but he's prodigal right now, right? And so that's part of my story right now. I want to be able to share that part of the story of how my son was restored, right? So ask God to let you share your story for his glory. Ask God to do that. I did not write these scriptures out for you, so if you want to write them down real quick, this one is from Psalm 115. Read the whole psalm, but the key verses are just verse 1 and 2 I want to share with you. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the other nations say, where is their God? Why should people look at my life and go, what a train wreck? Why should people look at my life and say, well, what happened to that? What did she do? Why did that happen? Her husband is this way or that way, or me, I'm this way or that way. Why? No. To your name be glory. I want my life to glorify you. I don't want it to be a train wreck that people see. I want them to see you in all of this. In Joshua, you all know the story that Joshua fit the battle of what? Jericho, right? All right, so Joshua does this. And after they have this mighty victory in Jericho, they have a mighty defeat. Does anyone know what happened at that defeat? Remember that battle of two little letters? AI. So Joshua goes in after Jericho. They get this awesome killer defeat, victory. And so when AI comes up, they don't even send as many people. It's a small little postage stamp sized town. It's teeny, teeny, tiny. We can kill them, no problem. We take them. good to go. So they send in the troops and they get routed and there's a slaughter. And they come back, their heads down and their tail between their legs. And Joshua's like, whoa, what happened? We should have easily taken this town, right? We had sin in the camp, it turns out. We had sin in the camp. And so God, Joshua cries out to God and he says, God, Joshua 7 and verse 9, he says, I don't want everybody else to see this defeat. Not because of me, but because of your name. He says, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and will cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? I did that to God when my marriage was not getting healed. And I pounded on heaven. I'm like, you fix this marriage or your name's going down. I was serious with God. I was like, fix it. This is not okay. My husband is not meant to be an alcoholic the rest of his life. Our marriage should not end in divorce. Right? And I pounded on heaven's door and I said, not for my name, but for your name. We're known as a Christian couple. This is not okay. This will defame your name. And I pounded and pounded and pounded on heaven's door. And it was inspired by reading Joshua's story and realizing Joshua brought it before God and said, don't let us suffer this defeat. And God did let them go back in and win that, but they had to clear the sin out of the land. And so the same thing with my husband's life, if you think about it as well. There was sin in our land as well, and my husband had to get rid of that. So praise God that he did. So again, that was from Joshua chapter 7. All right, so ask that question. What part of your story can you share today, and what part of your story will you pray about so fervently so that you will be able to share your story? God will restore this. This will be a miracle. There is no other way that anyone else will be able to say anything about this other than the glory of God. Because in man's hands, it would have been a total train wreck. So you take that to the Father and you say, for your name's sake, you need to fix this because I want your name to be made great. Okay? All right. So why should we? We should, but why? Okay? So you know we should, right? We have a sense of that. No one's sitting here going, we shouldn't share our story. We should just hide our light under a bushel. Right? No one's here thinking that, right? Y'all know the little kid song, so I make sure we're straight on that. So I don't think I have to convince you that we should be sharing our stories. But why? Well, a lot of reasons. Number one, for healing and meaning. When we share our story, it brings together the events that at the time felt random or meaningless or just awful or painful. But in gathering the details and going through that process, it helps to place it all back in God's hands and see how he was with us all along. Maybe you've had that experience, even just retelling little stories. You all of a sudden you realize when you're telling out loud to a friend, you realize, God totally had my back this entire time. Like, you're seeing how it all worked out together. Next is for community. From the Proverbs 31 blog, one of the gals shared her story, and she was terrified to admit that she had had an abortion. And so she stood up in front of women at one point in her life and finally admitted to this group of ladies that she had had this abortion. She said, when I finished and dared to look up, tear-stained faces were looking back at me and mouths were whispering, me too. Wow. When you are willing to share, you connect in community. And you reached out and someone else reached back. And rather than getting stones and, you know, rotten cabbage thrown at you on stage, they threw their heart back to you. Me too. I ache with you. I'm sad with you, right? C.S. Lewis, beautiful quote, friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, what? You too? I thought that no one but myself. ... whatever it was. That's from The Four Loves. Beautiful book C.S. Lewis wrote. So then for the kingdom, telling our story can bring hope to others and point them to Jesus as the source of that hope. So we tell our story, why? Well, for healing and meaning in our own life, for community around the circle with others. But ultimately, we tell that story for the benefit of the kingdom. So right now, I would like to invite up our panelists who did do the brave thing and share their story earlier this summer. So, yes, go ahead and grab a spot there. I'm going to save that one for Rebecca because she has her paintings right there. Other than that, you can sit there. So come on up. And Kathy and Teresa. All right. So the microphone is there. You can. It should stay. That's the good one. It should work. All right. And just hopefully it's behaving itself tonight. So I'll just start with you, Rebecca, and just share with the ladies my name is and a short little refresher of your story. Use the mic just for the benefit of everybody.
My name is... Check. Yep. Okay. Yep. My name is Rebecca Canamar, and story short, I was born and raised Mormon, went on a Mormon mission, and shortly after my return, God plucked me out of that.
My name is Rachel Barsha, and my story had to do with trying to get pregnant and instead being diagnosed with a very serious autoimmune disease that I had to work through, and then eventually did get pregnant and had a baby, and then got pregnant again 5 months later and had another baby.
Great. That we see on Instagram almost every day.
Yes. I love it. That's awesome.
My name is Kathy Wells, and my story was a very dysfunctional upbringing. Went through drug addiction, domestic abuse.
Hello, my name is Teresa Mestas, and my story was basically through my childhood, going through struggles, my mother being an alcoholic, and then getting married at a young age, and also going through difficulties in my marriage with my husband also being an alcoholic.
Okay, so a couple quick questions for them. I asked them to come back and share. Because I know throughout the summer, with people sharing their story, there was probably a lot of questions going through your mind, and maybe hearing how they came to be able to share their story will help you be able to write down some ideas of how you could potentially share yours. So, number one, what was the easiest or hardest thing about collecting your thoughts so that you could share your story?
The easiest thing for me was just to listen to the Holy Spirit. When Jennifer asked me, it was simply yes. And I know I didn't have my story written, but that was the easiest thing for me. And in the several pages of this book that I filled trying to write my story, the hardest part for me was just compiling it and making it all flow and make sense.
My story actually was already written. I've gone through several versions of my testimony since 2013. And the hard part was going through all of the horrible memories and all of the pain. And it's gut-wrenching to go through all of the horrible things that you've done and all of the horrible things that have been done to you. And that was the hard part. And the easy part was actually writing it. Once the pen hits the paper, it just took on a life of its own.
Okay.
Yes. Mine was pretty much already written. But as Rebecca shared, you know, just listening to the Holy Spirit, because there was an additional part that I had to add that was basically difficult because it was just overwhelming to go back and remember some things as a child. So it's just being obedient to the Holy Spirit and then writing that down. And I put it down for maybe over a month, and then I went back and started looking at it. And at that time, I could write it without bawling. So it got easier just, you know, writing it over and over again and then typing it. So that helped me to remember a lot of it that way, too.
Okay. So did you experience any self-doubt as you started writing out your talk? And if you did, you can explain that. Any self-doubt about writing it out?
So the self-doubt that I went through is kind of the whole vanilla thing. I just kept, as I was writing it and, you know, going through, I just kept thinking, You know, I am sure that most of the women that I'm going to talk to have probably gone through way worse things than this. So what significance is my story going to have? How is this going to matter to anyone or make a difference to anyone? When I felt like to a lot of women it would just seem like not a big deal. Or, okay, you're really being dramatic. Could it really have been that bad? Or was it really that difficult? So that was a lot of the self-doubt that I struggled with.
All right. Anyone else on that?
My self-doubt was the exact opposite of Rachel's self-doubt. My self-doubt, I wished there was more vanilla. I wished it was more vanilla. I'm thinking, and this is going since the very, I'm thinking back to the very first time that I actually shared my testimony back in 2013, and I'm just thinking, nobody has ever been through this before, and they're going to think I'm some sort of a freak, and I was just like, they're just going to think I'm the lowest form of life. I was really, like, in that place.
Okay.
I think just real quick for me, the self-doubt was just the fear of, you know, coming up and talking to a group of women without feeling so nervous and so overwhelmed that you felt you would feel like the words wouldn't even come out. That's what the fear that kept going over and over in my head was, I'm going to go up there and my mind is just going to blank out. But it didn't, so.
You did good.
I think it just goes back to part of the questions that we've answered for ourselves and remembering things that have happened in our past and feeling embarrassed about those things and not being stronger to say no, or the embarrassment and the guilt and the shame that you feel looking back.
Yeah. Okay, good. So what techniques did you find helpful in preparing your study? I met with each of the gals before I asked, this is back in May, I asked some of the ladies to speak and said that before we spoke that I would have some questions for them to go through, and then I would meet with them and we would go through their story together and just talk and get to know each other. So beyond that, what techniques did you find helpful in preparing your story?
This big book here with pages and pages of just writing everything down. And, you know, you write one thing and it triggers something else. And that's where it all began. Just like, I think it was Kathy, once you put the pen down, or at some point you put the pen down and things just start coming and you're like, you can't rewind. It's like what was I thinking? How do I write it down? So for me, it was just writing down, and I carried around a voice recorder. So if I was in the car, I would record something, because if I had a drive time that was without the kids, I would pull that open and just the Holy Spirit would just kind of overfill and just like I'd just be blurting things out.
Yep.
For me, I would practice, or I would have an imaginary conversation with all of you in my car. I work 3 days a week, so on those, and those are the only times I'm alone without my husband or kids. So that was a perfect time, and I would practice on the way to work, and I have about a 35-minute drive, so it's perfect. And so then I would get to work, and I would open up a Word document and, you know, kind of type out everything that I had said. And then on the way home, it would change, and then I'd get home, and I would edit the Word document, and then that went on for about 3 weeks.
What I did to write my original story back in 2013 was I did what is called a fourth-step inventory, and that's through the Celebrate Recovery Ministry. It's a Christ-centered 12-step program, and the steps are the same in any program, but the fourth step inventory, you're basically purging and getting everything on paper, all the bad things that have happened to you, all the bad memories, all the things that are barriers to your relationship with God, that are affecting you today, relationships with other people that are affecting you today, and everything got on paper, and I was able to do some like a timeline because of all of that, and I was able to see patterns
as to how I reacted to things and that such. How I edited, how I revamped it for this Bible study is I had to sit and I had to think, how is this going to point women to Jesus? How is my story going to point women to Jesus? What is the hope that I have? And I had to really, like, be still with myself and think about that, because I had never thought about that before. It was all basically, you know, my testimony was all geared toward recovery groups and the recovery program, but this was so much different. So it was just basically a lot of probably listening to the Holy Spirit, like mm-hmm. like Rebecca said, and a lot of journaling
yeah.
and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, for me, I think I was okay with it at the beginning, but then I came and I heard Rebecca's, and then I started panicking. And then I went home the next morning and listened to Kathy's, and I thought, oh my God, they're both so perfect. And I thought, oh my God, I want to do like that. I don't know if I could do that, you know, write it all down and read it without messing up or getting distracted. So anyway, I kind of battled with that. It's like, Lord, how do I do it? I've got it written down. Am I going to be able to read it so nice? And, you know, they were just both so wonderful. And then, so then I did meet with Jennifer, and I told her how I felt. And then, you know, she shared with me some pointers and, you know, just to be myself, basically. But the main thing that really, really helped me to put it together and not to feel so nervous and not to feel overwhelmed was my font and then my spacing and my margins. I mean, you'll be surprised how you think you're not going to be able to read, you know, all this information and get it across clearly without, you know, messing up or leaving something out. It really, really helped. And I thought, oh my God, I had 29 pages. But she says, no, by the time you put your font and your margins and your, you know, everything in it did. It was 29 pages, but it was, you know, the timing was, I checked that, and it was like a 40-minute talk. But that really helped me. You'd be surprised how you think you can't do it. And at that moment, I think the last couple of days, I prepared it. I did what I needed to do, but I didn't think about it much because I felt like the Lord was in control. The Lord prepared every moment for me to be here to say it, and He was going to provide and give me the ability to do it. So that
good.
Really helped.
So how has actually sharing your story publicly impacted you? How has it affected you? If you maybe have had connections with others that have come up, connections with yourself that have come up, any connections with your husband, how has that actually helped you, changed you, impacted you because you shared?
I have to read this one. I wrote it down before Jennifer asked, but this is what I shared with Jennifer. There's something about sharing my story that has given me freedom from the chains I felt so entangled by and enslaved by. The more women I engage with relative to my story, my past, the more freedom I feel. The lighter I feel, the more I feel myself lifted up and weightless, reaching higher to our Father. I've been my own weight, dragging myself, mm-hmm. pulling me back, holding myself back. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed by my freedom, freedom from the guilt and shame, and I find myself forgiving me. Mm-hmm. On a deeper level, each time I talk about my story. And there's one part of my story I did not want to write. I didn't want to share it. And as soon as I wrote it on a piece of paper, the Holy Spirit just filled me up and everything just started flowing into place how God wanted me to present my story. I can't explain it. No, I wouldn't want to go back and do it again. None of us do. I did it, and, you know, I'm forgiven, and the hardest part was forgiving myself. But once I wrote it down and once I shared it, it was freeing myself from that.
For me, it really impacted my relationship with God. It was just very healing to myself to be able to kind of talk that. I had shared my story on a one-on-one basis with a lot of different people, but this was the first time that I had done it in a large group, and I actually had been wanting to for a long time but had never had the opportunity, so I was really thankful for the opportunity. So it was very healing, and yeah, it affected my relationship with God because it just reminded me of that time of his faithfulness, reminded me of just how faithful he was to me during that time and how he always has been. And so it just kind of brought me closer to him from all of those reminders.
For me, I would have been very happy had I never said anything at all and been like the perfect church lady in this brand of church of mine. I really never ever set out to do this, especially at, well, I say new church, but I'm actually going to be here 2 years. It's the quickest 2 years of my life, I know. But I really never ever set out to do it. I know at last year I was thinking, you know, when I heard Jennifer's story for the first time and Patia's story for the first time and Ruth's story, I'm just like thinking to myself, wow, I am not the only one who went through stuff. And but I still was like, I really don't want to ever say anything. And, you know, I had to trust. I had to do a lot of trusting in this process. Not only did I have to trust that Jennifer wasn't going to steer me wrong and lead me, you know, somewhere that I wasn't prepared for, or, you know, not, she wasn't leading me to doing a bad thing, but I had to trust God that that everything was going to be all right coming out of this, and it helped with my confidence a lot, especially doing it here. It helped with my confidence a lot. I never would have imagined me doing a lot of things at this church that I've had the opportunities to do. So and also, like Rebecca said, also it every time you share your story, it loses its power. Mm-hmm. The power of the enemy, it has over you, it gets easier and easier and easier, and it loses its power, so you can just kick the enemy to the curb the more you say it.
Well, for me, maybe because I'm a lot older than you guys, but I felt excited about doing it. When Jennifer asked me, I said yes, but then of course I had to think about it because I know how nervous I can get when I have to talk in front of people. But I felt like it's been something that I have been wanting to do for a long time, and I had one done which I did at a retreat about 7 years ago, and I put it away, and I said, Lord, I know someday I'm going to have the opportunity again. So for me, it's just a time in my life, maybe you're in a different situation right now, but it's a time in my life where I feel like, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, however you want to use me, I'm here for you. I'm here to be obedient to you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to glorify you, and if my testimony glorifies you, then that's what I want to do. So, I mean, it's still a challenge to come up and talk to ladies and not be nervous, but I just want to be obedient to the Lord.
Thank you, ladies. Yeah, it takes a lot, and whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, it just takes a lot to get up and put yourself out there for people, and sharing yourself in a real and honest way can feel a little overwhelming. But maybe by hearing their story, and not only that, but what they went through and how they did it and how they pulled it together, that might give you some ideas for your own story as well and what you can do with that. Well, moving on in our notes here, you have two big blank pages at the back of your packet. You can turn to those right there. And I'm going to give you a chance to just show you some ideas of how you could potentially pull together some of your thoughts. And I want to reassure you right now that I'm not going to call on anyone to share. And even in your small group, like, you can just keep this totally private right now between you, yourself, and God, right? But if you wanted to share, you could. So I just want you to feel free that I'm not going to call on anybody. But the opportunity will be presented, but no one's going to be forcing you to go around the circle. Everyone share your deepest, darkest secret right now. Like, that's not going to happen. I know. You're welcome. Okay. So I'm going to just for you a little bit about my background. For the past 30 years, the large majority of my life has been involved in teaching people how to write. I don't know if you knew that. But I'm a published author myself. I have 6 books that I've illustrated, and I have 2-3 books that I've written, and in addition to the, not including the Bible studies that I've been writing for you guys here. And so writing has been a huge part of my life. I graduated from college with the intent on teaching writing. That was my life's dream, and I've been able to do that for all these years. So one of the things I enjoy doing is teaching people how to write. And so that'll come into play a little bit later. But for tonight, I'm going to just share a couple of techniques that have been proven helpful for people to just kind of get the thoughts moving. Okay, so go ahead and grab your pen, grab a blank sheet of paper. And I'd like you to write somewhere on your paper the word childhood. The word childhood. Okay, childhood, somewhere on your paper. Just the word childhood, somewhere. Okay. Now, from the word childhood, I'm going to have you do some writing. And here's a couple of things. Depending on how your brain works and how you like to think, some of you like to think kind of in a scattered cloud, and others are way more linear. So you write however you want to write. But I'm going to give you about 42 seconds. I know it sounds random, but I've scientifically based all this, mostly working with 10-year-olds. But I'm going to give you 42 seconds, and I'm going to give you opportunity to write as many words as you can think of with no judgment at all, and don't consider your spelling or penmanship. No one's going to grade this or look at it later. To write as many things as you can think of that come to your mind instantly when you close your eyes and you picture the word childhood inside your brain, whether it's a stream of consciousness flowing outside of that word, or it's a linear list bulleted down in ABC order in perfect size 14 font, whatever you want to do. So 42 seconds on the clock on the word childhood. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, think the word childhood, and go. As many words as you can think of. Pause. Now take a look at the words that you've written, and any words that are associated with a strong emotion, when you look at them, you get emotional maybe in some way, whether it's deep sorrow, deep joy, whatever it is, whatever word associated with the strongest emotion, pick the 2 or 3 of the strongest words and circle those 2 or 3 words. Just circle those 2 or 3 words that you wrote. All right, now from those 2 or 3 words, draw a line, category, move them over, if you could, you know, multiple screens, you know, in your brain. We're going to take one of those 2 words, the most powerful of those 2 words that you circle. You circle 2, maybe 3 words. The most one, the one you look at and go, boom, like it tenses you up the most or it fills you with the most joy, whatever extreme of emotion you feel based on those 2 words. Pick one of those words. You got the one word? Okay, move it over. Draw a box around it. Move that word over and draw a box around it. From that word, you've drawn a box around that very powerful word. I want you to think of as many nouns as associated. These are things that you can, people. These are places. These are things, okay, that are associated with that word. And you're going to have 32 seconds to write as many things as you can in those 3 categories, people, places, and things associated with that word that's attached to that memory. 32 seconds, go. who was there? When did it happen? What year was it? Where did it happen? The big scheme of it, like location, America, down to the small thing, a certain room. All right, pause right there. Okay, draw a circle to kind of a cloud around that entire cluster, what you've just created. Just cluster that whole thing and isolate it from the rest of the page. Okay, pause right there. Okay, coming back over here. Coming back over here. Let's move from childhood. So now we're going to move to adolescence. So find another space, group everything up, box it, line it, section it off, write the word teen. If you don't want to bother spelling adolescence, just keep it easy on yourself. Teen years. Okay. So I'm gonna redirect your thoughts a little bit different. So you're getting ready to think about the teen years. And so I'm going to give you about 30 seconds again to do that. And when I say go, instead of writing any nouns, I want you to write adjectives about this. So this is strong. These are feeling words. This is going to be a color. It's going to be a smell. This is going to be a strong emotion that you have. Anything that you can see, taste, hear, smell, I want you to think of that, your hand. And just think of all your five senses. So what you can see, what you can smell, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can touch, and what you can feel emotionally in your heart. So you're on the five of your five senses plus your heart emotions. And so use describing words for emotions on that. And so again, list it, cloud it, however you want to go. You have the word teen, and you got about 31 seconds on your mark, set, go. All right, so come on back.
Return to me, ladies.
Would anybody feel comfortable sharing with the whole group and what they share with their small group? Anyone want to share with the whole group what you share with your small group? Just share with everybody?
I'm willing to share.
You have about 15 seconds, by the way, so a quickie.
Okay. I brought up dark colors. For some reason, it came up. I have psoriasis, and it caused, hair and all that. But that affected what came out of that people is Dr. Shaw, Sunroom, UCLA Center, people my own age at that time, anything that looked like a splotch could have been a sexual transmitted disease back in my day. Mm-hmm. And so all of that caused an insecurity in myself.
All right. Good. Anybody else? About 15 seconds to quickly show.
I was 13, and that's how I'm attached to Ruth.
Oh, okay.
I met her.
Lila, 13.
And Michael.
Wow.
I was 13, he was 15.
Okay. Any other want to share theirs real quick?
I think during my 13 years, I can think I was in junior high, and so like towards the teen, towards 12, I was shamed, and my stepdad started, I don't know when it started, ended about 11.
Okay. All right. So I'd like you to think through your story. And what about your story do you feel like, if it's ready to go, or if God could heal it in your heart, would that be something that you would share to the glory of God? What about your story right now as you've written? Or if it's trash and you don't want to share any of it, it's fine. I mean, there's always that. Just because you write something doesn't mean we all need to hear it. I mean, there is that moment of going, that never needs to get said. That's bad stuff. So what about your story, whether you were able to get it out here or didn't, and it's still rattling in your brain. What about your story? Are you thinking, gosh, this if this could be shared, this is what I would share. So take a minute to write down 10 words associated with the story. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on your paper. 1 through 10. 10 words that associate with an aspect of your story that if you were given an opportunity to share with 1, 2, 10, 20, 200 people, whatever, that, okay, this is what I would share. And whether it's healed or not, let's say ultimately God heals this and I could share it, awesome. If it's already been healed, awesome. give me 10 words associated with that story. Write those 10 words now. Anything you can think of, any word, person, place, thing, noun, a name of a person, a place where it took place, a color, a holiday, a man involved, a woman involved, a school involved, a holiday involved, an accident, a disease, a child, a dream, article of clothing, some food, where you went, where you left. So coming back in, I love the looks on your faces, all of you sharing. So can you see by just these short little introductory activities that it would be possible for you to collect your story and be able to start writing it? Can you see that? Okay. So my hope in part of what we've done this summer is, again, to empower women to share their story and to give you the tools that you would need to do that. So as we move forward, go ahead and back to your notes.